True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ed had a big game. You know, you could feel his play out there, right? Whether it was the run game, the pass game, a couple good hits on the quarterback, a couple big plays in the run game behind the line of scrimmage, and then forcing the fumble. Really, the entire team, he didn't quit. There was no quit in that team and in our team, and that's a good thing as we look to move forward.
Sean McDermott today. Sal Capaccio will join us at 6 with more on what the coaches had to say, and of course, the incredible start to the season last night. 41-40. Scoregami, if you don't know what that is, means it's a unique score in NFL history. And last week we were talking about scoregami. We were talking about what if the Bills won this game 2-0? And how would you feel? And I happened to have it in front of me. I looked up, like the lowest scoring Bills scoregami game is 10-5. 1988, they lost to the Buccaneers 10-5. No other game has ever been 10-5, and no other game has ever been 41-40, which is a little surprising.
Yeah, to me. I was just going to say that. I think 41-40 sounds like a score. I would, you know, not always, but a lot of times when you hear there's a scoregami, it's a pretty uncommon score. And 41-40 doesn't sound that. It sounds like that should have happened 100 times.
There could be an 8, a 5.
Right, yeah.
An 11.
Right.
41-40. Love it. What a great score. Here is Paul next. Hi, Paul.
Hey, guys. Great win. Thanks for taking the call.
You're welcome.
But you know what's bizarre about all this? And I still have to pinch myself every time I watch this guy play. But, you know, for so many years going through the drought, the only thing that ever felt inevitable with these games was losing. And it last night, when after the fumble, after the touchdown, and then the punt, it was this weird feeling of inevitability. Allen's going to take him down. He's going to score. And it felt like watching like those mid-season random games when like Brady and the Patriots would be playing like Roethlisberger or like Breeze. And like it seemed like no matter what was going to happen at the end of the game, you know, Brady was always – it was just inevitable. The Patriots were going to find a way to win. And it just – I can't believe it's us. And it's just so enjoyable to be on this end of it for a change. And again, I know they got trucked for three quarters of this game, but it just, once everything started falling into place, it just felt inevitable. And it's just a really nice feeling to have that be us for a change, you know, after all those years of suffering. So that's it. Just wanted to say that and keep up the great work, guys.
Thanks, Paul. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's right on. Thank you for punting. Is code for this game is over. Like, we got it. You know, it does feel that way. It isn't always the case. And how many, was it multiple inches or just 1 inch that Hamilton missed the block field goal by? Like, how about that if this is how that ends?
Dude, I'm telling you, I still think he got a hand on it. It could be an optical illusion. Just glancing blow. The one shot, I think, from behind. There's a low angle from behind that I thought showed it, but I don't know. But yeah, I mean, he came right through. They gotta button that up. That's Deion Walker, rookie out there, and he steps to the guy on the edge and just allows Hamilton a clean shot in there. I mean, I think he had to jump a little to get through, and maybe that's the only thing that saved the Bills, is that it's a bit of a delay for him getting through there. Because, man, he was so close to blocking that. I did not notice it. We're watching it live. I'm so focused on the goalposts.
Yeah.
Right? And the ball, because those are the most important things. Ball's got to go through the goalposts. I did not even see how close it was to being blocked until they showed a replay.
I think you see him jump after he just misses, like sort of in a, you know, I can't believe he just sort of,
right.
sort of jumps toward the Baltimore sideline knowing the game is over. And how close he really was, if I remember that right. Here is Jack next. Hi, Jack.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to thanks for letting me call you guys and get in on this. But, you know, here's how I look at it. I've watched these Bills. You know, I've been there. I lived in Buffalo my whole life up until a few years ago. And I remember going to the games and watching the games where, you know, you've seen the fans filtering out early fourth quarter, game's done, you know, it's over. That ain't this team. You know, we have our last home opener in the stadium, and I think Josh Allen calling out the fans for leaving is rightfully so. I mean, this is our home stadium. Your last time you're going to have a home opener and you're walking out on, yeah, granted, 40-25, but this team showed no heads down. This team was just game plan. Yeah, we got ran all over by Derrick Henry, and Lamar broke his. I mean, but they were a three-headed monster. That was it. They didn't pass the ball around too much. But this team that we have, they're all dogs. There's no quit in this team. And, you know, it's good to see finally for once where you can go in and you're down 40-25 and your gut is telling you it ain't over. It ain't over. This is what we've waited for. This is the season. And I hope Bills fans that are there, because I'll tell you what, I wished I could have been there in that stadium last night. I'd have gave my right arm for it. But I'm going to tell you what, don't walk out on another game this season, because you don't know what you're going to miss. It's all magic.
Thanks, Jack. Counterpoint, it's so late. Like, people have jobs in the morning and kids, and it's like,
yep.
You know, it's an hour to get home if you live even like where I do from the stadium in traffic. If the Bills are winning 40-25, I'm in my car.
Right. Like,
it doesn't even matter.
Right.
Tell me that I missed a big comeback. Okay, well, like, I got to sleep at least.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's real life.
I'm fine with it. I've left things earlier than I'd like to admit. I don't know that I've ever left a thing early and had something like that happen, where I'm like, I'm really regretting that I left, which is why you feel okay leaving, because it's rare that, you know, if you're demoralized enough to want to leave a pro sports event with a team that you love as much as most of these fans love this team, it's probably really bad. And the chances of it happening in your favor coming back are probably pretty slim, and they were last night. So I don't know. I don't mind Allen taking the shot. I certainly don't. I'm not going to. You shouldn't leave. I can't. I'd be duplicitous because I've done it. So, you know, tough one. If you you got to your car and like went, oh, but you know, I totally understand leaving. I thought I gave this a decent amount of thought today while I was out on a bike ride. Like, would I do this? Like, yes, I've done it. So I don't know. I'm not going to be hard on anyone who left. But I also don't mind Allen saying, like, hey, you know, you should hang around. We that's his right to do that.
It's all fine.
He came through.
Tim's next. Hi, Tim.
Hey, just thanks for taking my call, guys. Yep. Hey, I was wondering, did anyone bring up yet the fact that a lot of these guys hadn't played at all in preseason, and maybe there was a little bit of rust that needed to be knocked off, and they needed some time to get the timing back and just get game – kind of get that game feel back. I mean, I watched it and I was like, okay, mistake after mistake after mistake, but like Allen hadn't played at all in preseason. A lot of these guys, a lot of the starters played very, very little. So you get to the halfway, midway through the game, they started to pick it up a little bit. And then the fourth quarter, they started to roll. And, I mean, my thought is next game, look out because they're going to continue.
Yeah, I don't know. This point comes up all the time. And just like year to year, team to team, it just doesn't really seem to correlate. So if, I mean, were there that many mistakes? Defensively, they got kind of blown out. Offense held up for the most part in this game. I never thought they scored a touchdown immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, were they rusty when he zips that into Kincaid for the 7-0? It's just,
yeah.
I think it can happen circumstantially, but it doesn't have to, it's not a generalization I'd ever want to make. I could see the Ravens, I mean, the Bills were on the field for 85 plays. And maybe you're not in your primo game shape because it's the opener. Cincinnati.
Right. They played like crazy in the preseason, and they had 7 points or 7 yards in the second half of their game against Cleveland.
Yeah, they made an effort this year to play Burrow and those guys in the preseason, and the result was the same. They won.
The Chiefs played their guys, and they looked like dog meat on Friday night.
Yeah.
Mostly. So, yeah, I mean, it's anecdotal. You can pick and choose. I'm sure there are examples of teams that do it the way the caller's suggesting and get off to good starts, and that's validation. I don't know what it'll all end up meaning, you know, if the Bills will change their course. This is the first time that Allen hasn't played a single snap in the summer before the opener. I don't think that was what I was seeing myself.
Sean's next. Hi, Sean.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, man.
Good question. So, you think that call at halftime when we had 1 second left, mysteriously 1 second left, and maybe even that touchback, do you think the Buffalo is finally getting some of those calls that maybe Mahomes or Brady would have gotten in the past?
I mean, they're the right calls. So I don't know if you're thinking it's your year because that went your way. I don't know. I don't think the Bills have necessarily been in arrears in getting those calls all these years either. So
I'm not a guy who sort of works by this premise in the first place, right? I mean, sort of the implication is they usually get screwed, but not anymore. I don't think they usually get screwed. I think great players and great teams get calls, if that's not saying different. And these were not, to me, examples of that happening. Baltimore's great. It's just, you said they were right.
Yeah, the machinations of the league to review those calls, whatever's in place, the right calls were made. It'd be another thing if they gave the Bills, like, well, actually, we're going to put a second back on Argle Bargle. Like, what? No. I mean, they had footage of the ball, you know, in control and the player out of bounds, and okay, we're going to put a second back on. Same thing with the touchback. Like, the guy did slide barely. I mean, just barely, but he did. Like, okay, letter of the law, that's correct. You know, the Bills have been victim of bad calls, but every team in the league is a victim of bad calls. I mean, it happens all the time. So they got a couple of things that went their way, but they weren't gifts. They were correct.
Third game ever where the Bills allowed 40 points and won. One was last year.
Detroit.
And the other was one of my favorite games. 89 Houston. The Astrodome.
That's an overtime game. Right.
47-41. Reed. So much happened in that. That game is bonkers. Houston has a field goal. The game has just been off, just crazy. Like, the Bills had a defensive touchdown tally, maybe. Like, you've just got all these huge plays, 41 all, and Houston is kicking a field goal to win it, and they missed, but the Bills were offside. So they got to kick the shorter field goal to win it, and they missed again. Zendejas. Just, that's an awesome game. 89 Bills Oilers. They also scored 42 in a loss last year, the Ram game.
Right.
Crazy times. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, back after this break. Sal joins us at 6. This is WGR.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
It's Mike Schoepe and the Bulldog.
Going to hand it off to Henry, and he's bottled up, and the ball is out! It's loose! Who's got the football? It's Buffalo ball at the Baltimore 30-yard line!
Pass off to our defense in, you know, the last three or four drives, you know, playing some big boy football. That's a really, really good offense. It's a really good team.
It's Mike Schoepe.
Allen reaches over the goal line, and he is in! He went high side this time instead of low. And he punched it in for the one-yard touchdown run.
Great win, and they're hard to come by. That locker room, man, they kept playing. Those guys and coaches kept coaching. Wasn't pretty at times, and got a lot to learn from this game, and it's always good that you can learn after a win than after a loss.
And the Bulldog.
Down to 3 seconds. Here's the snap. Hold is down. Kick on the way. And it is good. And Matt Prater, in his first game as a Buffalo Bill, has won the ball game here in week one. The Bills were down by 15 in the fourth quarter. They come all the way back to win the game at the gun.
It's Mike Schoepe and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
You know, a caller a few minutes ago brought up, and this is what a lot of fans and analysts, I'm sure, are all talking about, from last night is resilience and all those kind of words, you know, around that, like not quitting. McDermott is talking about that. I'm usually not that guy because I think that stuff tends to get really overstated. I mean, I think the professionals that we're talking about every day, it's more impressive, I think, to us that like they can keep their heads. They're doing a job. I just think it gets overdone. We always want stories, and that's a very convenient and fine and good story that, you know, never quit. But I will give you this much about this game. Derrick Henry, and for that matter, Lamar Jackson in tandem, they embarrass you as a defensive player.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that would be, I think maybe even Chris Collinsworth used the word last night.
About Bishop, especially, I think. When Bishop got stiff-armed to the ground,
right.
The word embarrassed, I think, was used a few times.
Yeah, I think this particular opponent, because of their style, I mean, Henry, who's ever been like him? Listen to Dan Le Batard this morning on Derrick Henry. He's like, you're not supposed to be able to do this. We're always talking about replaceability of running backs, and he's Earl Campbell and Ricky Williams, and he's still going, and like, it's just amazing. Right. I think, just again, I'm not somebody that really can relate to those guys, but this might be one where you would, you know, get the check a little bit. It's the fourth quarter. The fans are filing out in droves. That's, again, the only time you can use droves. And it would be, like, demoralizing, and maybe you don't have that fifth gear or that extra strength and motivation on, you know, a particular play.
I like this point a lot. I think, yeah, your resilience should be the same across the board, regardless of the opponent, but I feel like Baltimore is the kind of team that could very easily get a switch to flip, and you're just like, it's not our day. This is not our day.
We beat them last year.
We beat them when it mattered. Right. It's 15. They got the ball. They're going to run it some more. Oh, God. Right? But, you know, Oliver is obviously not. He's going. He's trying to get. He gets the ball. And, I mean, that's just the. That's the biggest play in the game.
On that fumble, I think if I'm picturing it right, the first four players to the ball are Bills.
It's all Bills, yeah.
Like, for all the fumble luck, everybody on that defense is firing.
Before I knew they had it, I think I yelled, you better have it.
That's right. Like, they're all piled on top of each other.
You're all around.
No one else is in there.
If you lost it, it's because one of your teammates just jostled it loose from you trying to get it because you were the only ones there. So you better have it. And it turned out, of course, they did. So, but yeah, no, I that is, no one likes to lose. No one likes to get beat. But there is a particular kind of humiliation in being left for dead on the field, like Bishop was on that one Henry run. I mean, good luck living that down. You know, until he makes some plays for this team, that is going to be, even though they won the game, that is going to be the image of Cole Bishop. Just like it was, I mean, we're not really attached to Josh Norman that much, but when he got just trampled by
the same guy,
Henry, like all those years ago in Tennessee, I mean, that was just it. That play ended up being called back by penalty, and it still got replayed endlessly because it was just such physical domination. And look, the Bishop play didn't approach that quite, but it was tough to watch. I'm sure Bishop didn't feel awful good, and I'm sure he won't watching the film of it because he got embarrassed.
So that's all, to the Bills' credit. It is the kind of game where, like, the Ravens had the ball with the 15-point lead. With 8 minutes to go in the game. And just how can you lose that? It's one turnover, not three.
Right.
I mean, it's not like every one of these possessions ended in disaster. There was one little thing, I guess I'm thinking of it now, so I'll just say it. 803-0550 if you want to join us about last night's incredible Bills opening win over the Ravens, is I tweeted this. I watched football all day. I was a slob yesterday. All I did was, from when my stuff was done in the morning, then it was like fantasy, cramming, all the way up until midnight. It's all I did. I might have seen 30 plays in all the games, red zone, all the games, where they don't call this anymore. The receiver is coming forward at the line of scrimmage at the time of the snap.
Mm-hmm.
That used to be an automatic penalty if they ever saw it. Now they let you do it. It doesn't have to be dramatic. It can be very slight, but you're not allowed to be moving forward at the time of the snap, only in Canada. Flowers did it, 40-25, Ravens ball, crowds leaving, and they called it. And then they ended up punting. That's the only time I saw it called all day. I saw it constantly. I mean, you just see it constantly now in the NFL, is receivers in motion coming forward as they get past the tackle. And, you know, this crew,
they threw it.
Home teams losing, that's the recipe.
Right.
So the Bills got a little bit lucky there. Not that it isn't a penalty. It is a penalty, but it just doesn't seem like one anymore.
Gets ignored a lot, yeah.
So there you go. Let's go to Colin next. Hi, Colin.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Love the show. Just quick question about the defense. Do you all think that the defense will just look markedly different as time goes on, just given that, you know, Trey White's eventually going to come back. Hopefully Hairston comes back maybe within 4 weeks, and then Ogunjobi and Hoyt. Like, do you anticipate that really in 6 or 8 weeks it's just going to look like a totally different defense, and therefore maybe we should expect some different results? And then kind of related to that, this probably is a little too early to start thinking about this, but You know, is this something that Brandon Bean starts to think, okay, trade deadline, we need to go out and get a safety? You know, whoever is the best safety on a team that's selling, that's somebody we've got to target. And when you put all of that together, I just wonder if in 8 or 10 weeks after this soft spot in the schedule, we might just look like a totally different defense.
Well, I mean, you're talking about four guys, White, Hairston, Ogunjobi, and Hoyt. I think, you know, they're not counting on all of them equally, but they're all expected to contribute. I would think Hairston and White and Hoyt, especially Ogunjobi, is maybe the least important of the four. But that's four guys that you don't have right now. So, yeah, it'll be different if they get all of those guys back and, you know, don't suffer more injuries along the way. So, yeah, I think it'll look different. And I think this Jet game will be very interesting for this, because the Jets did do a great job of running the ball on Pittsburgh, which, you know, is supposed to be like, what's Pittsburgh's calling card? I mean, they've got Aaron Rodgers now, but it's defense and Cam Hayward and TJ Watt. And the Jets had a good day doing that. And so, you know, there's a lot of Baltimore is a bad matchup, and so that's why it looks so bad. And, I mostly agree with that. Like, Baltimore is a bad matchup for a lot of teams. They didn't have a couple of their things that really enhanced that, mainly the fullback yesterday, but they just plugged a tight end in there and just kept going, and it seemed to work fine. I think the Bills' defense will look a lot better just maybe even starting next week. That's why the Jet game is so interesting, because the Jets are not the Ravens. Breece Hall is not Derrick Henry, and Justin Fields is not Lamar Jackson. And I don't think they have a 330-pound fullback on the roster.
They should get one.
So, you know, can you do a much better job than you did yesterday on the Jets running game? A. B. The Ravens are just a very unique matchup. They've got a secret sauce that is maybe exposes the Bills' biggest weakness. And you don't have to play them again until January.
If at all.
Right.
Patrick Ricard. I never thought about him once all night. I never thought about it. Baltimore was running the ball with such ease that it never even came to my mind, like, oh, they don't have their fullback. Like, if they were struggling, right, I think I would have heard it or thought it, but they weren't. So it just never occurred to me last night that they didn't have, or even likely. They used a guy I'd never heard of in some percentage of snaps last night in the fullback spot there.
That wasn't Kohler. That was somebody else.
Right. John McEntee. That's not correct. Let's go to Brad next. Hi, Brad.
Gentlemen, my favorite show on WGR. You guys are great, and I love listening to you every day during Bills season.
Thank you.
2 points. Quote from the article from Catherine Fitzgerald in the Buffalo News today. The quote from Matt Prater says, "The biggest thing I noticed when we got down early two scores, no one blinked or skipped a beat. They just kept going, and in other places it didn't seem like that." And so it just shows the mindset of this team. When you think about the Hard Knocks series, how these guys really feel close-knit and like a family, it's really a wonderful thing and a special thing. And another point I want to make, you know, as we're reflecting on the final season here at Highmark Stadium, it looked beautiful on TV. NBC has a great game presentation. Yes. I love the shot of the Albright Knox with the drone. And, you know, I'm excited for the new Highmark, but with so much covered, you're not going to get those big, beautiful shots of all the fans in the stands. And so I'm really trying to soak that up as well in this final season. I get sort of nostalgic for that stuff. But
really?
I think it...
Sorry, Brett. Yeah, I really like hearing that. I don't know how it's going to be different, but it's going to be different. Like,
right.
I love to go on a night like last night up to the upper deck. I say this a lot with the preseason. Just go sit up there for a quarter, and I'm watching the game, but really I'm just looking at the sky. You know, I'm just looking around. Mm-hmm. And with the roof, or, you know, semi-roof, the coverage on the new place, it probably will be different in that way. But I agree with the NBC point, too. I thought they might do more with the new place last night. It wasn't a topic, really. I mean, a little bit.
Yeah, Tirico would mention it in passing. It's finally your stadium, new place across the street. But, yeah, I wasn't in front of the TV for every second of this game, because I had some people over, so there was, you know, in and out of the living room occasionally. But I don't even know. I didn't feel like I got, like, a speaking of drones, like a buzz through the new place or something. I might have expected that, I didn't see it if it happened, is all I'm saying.
By the way, the Ravens tight end that I didn't remember his name, Zaire Mitchell-Payton is the guy last night. 15 snaps. All right, Ben is next. Hi, Ben.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi, Ben.
Thanks for having me on. I know it's kind of been the topic of conversation and talk about the safety tandem. Taking out, you know, Cole Bishop getting stiff-armed into the turf, I want to give him a pass, I guess, for the sake of this conversation because, it is what it is. It's Derrick Henry. But aside from that, I'm so concerned about this safety tandem. Watching at the game last night, you guys are talking about the upper deck. This is my fifth year with season tickets up there, which is actually it's my favorite place to be for that reason. You can see everything as the play is developing. And seeing the amount of times that those two end up out of position, it's just concerning to me for the reason that the coaching staff seems to be so hell-bent on getting Cole Bishop in there. I don't know if they're seeing something that we're not, in practice, but it's not, showing on the field yet. I'm willing to give him a couple more games in the sense that he hasn't really seen the field time yet. But watching some of the plays back from last night, specifically with Taylor Rapp, the one where DeAndre Hopkins catches that one-handed touchdown in the end zone, there's nobody that comes into Rapp's deep zone other than DeAndre Hopkins. The other two players from the far side of the field are cutting in the flats.
And he's late.
Rapp essentially just he stands there and watches it. He's too late to get to the ball. And this is sort of what I feel like all he does is when he's late, he just decides to try to lay a hit on somebody, which he does. But he almost takes out Benford on that hit, and that's a place he needs to be. It's a place that Poyer and or Hyde would have been. And then the other one was one of Derrick Henry's touchdown runs, one where he goes up the left sideline.
Mm-hmm.
Rapp takes two steps backwards despite the entire play showing run. And then takes a horrible angle, and it's just too slow to get there.
And he almost stumbles trying to catch him.
He does, yeah. To me, he's a less athletic Jamal Adams, in my opinion. I like that he hits hard, but I think we need more at safety, and I think it would be remiss of this coaching staff not to give Jabril Peppers' agent a call. I'm concerned about the safety tandem. On a positive note, though, I think Keon Coleman is going to be a dog. I was very encouraged by his performance last night, and it was a great showing for the Bills. So I appreciate you guys taking my call, and I'll hang up.
Thanks, Ben. Boy, the Coleman touchdown. Remind me. So that pass is tipped?
Yeah, I think it's to Shakir short of the goal line is the target there. And Shakir, I think it's him, gets a hand on. Somebody gets a hand on. I think it's Shakir. And it just happens that Coleman is in the right place at the right time there and is able to corral that. But holy God, that's fourth down.
That's fourth down. And they're down 15. It's still 40-25.
Right.
And 4 minutes left. So it's got to be game over if that.
Right.
That's a pretty good bounce. And he's got to be alert to, react to that ball. Not so easy. Yeah. All good points. The Hopkins touchdown. Did you have a moment where you thought it was over? That was mine. What an amazing throw and catch that was, especially catch. And that's where they come around and then the fan in the end zone takes a couple of shots.
Right.
And then Jackson, the fan has been, I read it, not from a Buffalo report, but banned indefinitely from NFL stadiums. He wasn't named in the report that I read, but come on. Is there a bigger loser move than that? I mean, just come on. But that's when I thought, all right, well, they've got that. They've got that card too. See ya.
Right.
And then you have the Bill score, and then you get the next Henry touchdown. And now I just I texted to my guys, good night.
Right. That was when the shoot was pulled by one person that was at my house watching. She's like, I early day, whatever. I'm going home. It would have been easy. I mean, I totally understand anyone leaving, But yeah, I mean the way the game was going then, that oh great, now I'm going to be talking about this fan, this is going to be a story now, and I mean I guess it still could be, but it gets blown out of the water by the comeback and the fact that the Bills win the game and this fan is mostly a footnote now. Yeah, it really has got to be sweet. I mean, you could hear, I wouldn't say multiple times, but I definitely noticed once or twice Baltimore fans chanting MVP after Lamar made plays. To get the win in that environment where you're hearing that in your place with the guy that was the MVP last year. I mean, I don't know if Allen or anybody on the Bills noticed it, but I definitely heard it on the TV, and I would imagine you could hear it in the stadium. I mean, that is pretty tasty. For all the talk, I mean, I focused more on it than you certainly did, asking all of our regular guests last week about, you know, Baltimore. They seem to be pouring a lot into this, right? Revenge and all this. And, you know, to have that, to have the lead, have their fans, however many there were in the stadium, audibly being heard chanting MVP at their quarterback in Josh Allen's house, and then to still come back and win the game is very, very tasty.
No doubt. Well, what the Ravens have to do, or at least what we would be talking about if we talked about them all the time, which sometimes it feels like we do, but if that were our team, it would be like the Bills 2 years ago. And it would be, you know, this collection of game of the year losses, like you said at the beginning today. Like these incredible games the Bills have been in, but they lose them. Philly, Tampa, Minnesota. And, you know, that's almost all of their losses in the last 5 years are these kind of games where they're just like a weird development and they get beat just barely. And that's what, like, the Ravens' discourse is today. There's a lot of, they keep blowing these games. Like, they've blown a lot of them. And there's also plenty of, well, that's because they're always winning. Like, oh, you have to be so good to be in position just constantly to have late double-digit leads. You know, you're going to blow more of them than the Cardinals because they're never ahead. You know, you get the point. So what they would have to do, what we'd be talking about is like just sort of blocking that out, I guess, right? I mean, they'll probably be ahead by a lot in most of their games and just being able to somehow finish them. But it is how I think of the Ravens. I mean, I just think that there are these little details that they miss. And, you know, last night it would be more, it wasn't as obvious last night, I would say, but just sort of how they handled their play calls from the 15-point lead on just did not maximize their chances of winning. And then they punt. Jackson's hurting, but on the 4th and 3, I mean, I got to set up for a 4th down go for it situation there. I've just got to be set up for it. And I've complained about this for them in the past. How Jackson is not, I mean, how he is not handling the ball on those plays. I mean, what's especially dangerous about them is the Jackson-Henry kind of tandem. Well, I mean, the Bills did a great job to pull it off, but I feel like Baltimore misses stuff. And Allen just doesn't. The Bills do not miss these things. I was watching football all day, and there were it was week 1, you know, plenty of times when other quarterbacks were doing things. I'm like, Allen would not have done that. Just little mistakes. Jordan Love, I got to find what it was maybe later, but I wrote something down about Jordan Love. Like you would never see Allen do this, with getting a 1st down or something. Anyway, we know he's great, but it's so many different dimensions and aspects to his greatness.
Yep. Maybe the only, I think they got the call wrong, but he could have slid a little later on that one for when he slid for the what he thought was a 1st down and they marked him short. I think the replay vindicated that the ball had broken the plane, but whatever. Like that was one instance where he didn't get it exactly right. But still, he's trying to protect himself. He's doing the thing that everyone always pleads with him to do, which is protect himself. He just maybe was a little sooner than he should have been, as it turned out. But again, I still think that they probably got the spot wrong anyways, because I think the replays showed that he had it. But
it was a slide, by the way, on Jordan Love. I just found it in my notes. But no follow-up questions, please. I don't have any more for you. The update next, we'll talk some more Football Monday on WGR. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now.
You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Seems right to put last night's Bills game on the list of those you may never forget. A classic we'll be talking about for many years. There are becoming a pretty good number of those, and you can't remember them all. I mean, I feel like each one of these reduces the others by a tiny bit. But last year, the stadium opening night, the comeback, 41-40. What a great night. Sal Capaccio with us now on the West Her Hotline. How about this game sort of historically for you, Sal? What was it like, and how do you think it'll be remembered? Of course, it will be.
Yeah, one of the certainly most memorable games I've ever been a part of as a professional, as a fan growing up in the stands. I've always said the two most incredible sporting events, well, I shouldn't say, the two most incredible football games. I was at the 6-overtime UConn-Syracuse game. That's up there too. But two most incredible football games I've ever attended. One was the Cleveland playoff game, which I know you were at, Mike, as
yes.
Well, 89 divisional round. And the other was 13 seconds, right? And those are the two, and unfortunately, two losses for the Bills, but just the unbelievable games those were. Now, we've had some games over the years here which have been pretty incredible, like the Vikings game, where you just can't believe how things happen near the end, right? This, though, for the Bills to come on top and the euphoria in that stadium to be on that end of it, you had a caller earlier just say, you know, your Bills always were on the other end of that. So for that reason, I definitely put it up there with one of the most memorable, crazier games I've ever been a part of.
Sal, how noticeable to you, if it was noticeable at all, maybe this is news to you, I watching at home, I could hear what I assume were Ravens fans chanting MVP at different times during the game when Jackson was making plays. And I wonder if you noticed that, and like that only enhances the reputation this game will grow with over time. I mean, certainly how this season ends up going for the Bills. Do they get the one seed? Do they go all the way to the Super Bowl? Do they have the one seed in part because they beat Baltimore in this game? Then we'll always remember it, of course. But the fact that the Ravens were so, it seemed, I don't want to say reportedly. I mean, I saw plenty of quotes from guys. Like, they wanted this game. They wanted to set the record straight, which I think is a little absurd for a team with the kind of goals they should have, just like the Bills. Like, I don't need vengeance for a playoff loss in September. I need it in January. But whatever. They poured a lot into it. And then you've got the specter of the of it looks like a blowout in their favor, and the fans there are chanting at Lamar MVP in Josh Allen's place. Man, the fact that the Bills came back and smacked it, I wonder if Allen noticed that and if that was a part of why he was so fired up on the field after the game. Like, he's screaming at Matt Prater after this game is over at one point on the field when they're hugging it all out. Did you notice fans chanting MVP for Lamar?
Very little of the chant. I did hear a little bit of it, but I don't want to take away from your point because I did hear a lot of Ravens fans, and it was noticeable in the national anthem. I don't know if you know, but when you go to Baltimore, because of the Orioles and the O's, yeah. Mm-hmm. At the end of the national anthem, when the word O comes out of right. the person singing, the crowd in a Baltimore fans, they say, oh, like that. Mm-hmm. And that was very noticeable. It was noticeable in the AFC divisional playoff game. So when I heard that, I'm like, ooh, they're here. I saw them when we were doing our pregame roundtable and pregame show out in the parking lot. I didn't hear the MVP chants as much. I heard a lot for Josh. So I can't speak on if Josh mm-hmm. heard it or fueled him or anything like that. Now, the vengeance part. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, though. They wanted this game for that. I mean, but anytime you're left with such a sour taste in your mouth and you feel like you should have won and put a team away and get to what your goal was, which in that get to the AFC Championship and the Super Bowl, you're going to want to do that. It actually reminded me, you know, when the Colts came here, guys, that was what they wanted to do because they had just lost the year before to the Bills.
Right.
They lost in the playoffs the year before, and I remember that was a big deal for them, that they wanted to make sure they kind of, as you say, set the record straight and kind of atone for that loss, and they did it in a big way. So I understand when that happens with teams. Didn't the Bills years ago open up Sunday Night Football with Alex Van Pelt the year after home run throwback? And that was like a talking point going into the year. Mm-hmm. So I can understand that. Whatever you can use, whether it's manufactured or real, I think you try to use that.
Johnson, but yes, that's right. 2000.
Thank you.
Opener
Thank you.
With Tennessee.
Yes.
Well, for me, I guess, Sal, I'd have to say, even though the Bills come out on top here, when a 15-point comeback happens in such little time, you think about how the team that lost. Like, what didn't Baltimore do to be able to mm-hmm. close mm-hmm. it out with a 90% plus win probability? What would you say to their strategy or what happened with the Ravens late here? Of course, there's the Oliver play on Henry for a fumble. That's a football play. That's not something necessarily that Baltimore, you know, where there was a lapse. But I don't know. What would you say about how the Ravens handled the last, I guess, 5 minutes, or even include their previous possession, if you want, where they were stopped?
Great question. I think it's a pretty deep answer for a lot of things because of what the Bills did as well. And I say that, Mike, because I just want you to know, if you want to talk about it, I asked Sean McDermott specifically about the 2-point conversion decisions being in that situation. And, you know, there's a lot of what you could do in those situations. And it relates to what you just asked, because Sean said, when they first scored, when they were down 15 and they score the first time, they go for two. And the reason is now I've always kind of thought you go for one there because then you kind of can still make it a one score game. If you don't make it, it's still a two score game. Like, why would you do that? You want to get yourself into a one score game. Sean said today, just a little while ago, he said the first time they did it was because there was a high scoring game and they wanted to know, hey, if we miss it, because we have some time on the clock, we can still need to know what we need mm-hmm. to do, right? Then the second time it happened, they're down 15. Now they go for one. And here's where your answer is. He said, we wanted to make sure they had to play offense. And I agree with that. And in that
make
situation,
make it a one-score game. Yeah.
You make sure you put a little pressure on them to have to play the game. They can't just ride it out, right? They can't and the Ravens had to make decisions. They had to make decisions on how to play it. And I think they should have, A, kept Lamar Jackson in shotgun and kept running that read option because they were having success. They didn't do that. I think they just really felt in the first play, if you look back, so the Bills get the ball 7-1-6. They got the ball 7-16 left. They go down, they score. They then give the ball to the Ravens, and Lamar gets the first down. And then on the next play, that's when Henry fumbles. He's in I formation. I think shotgun versus under center is key here for me. If you're in I formation, you don't have that read option ability. Now, you can boot with Lamar, but that's not what they do. That when he leaves, when he gets out the gate, it's because they're running the they're out of shotgun and running the option. When they're in I formation, everybody is loaded up to stop Derrick Henry, and that's what the Bills did. And because they had so much around the football, now suddenly Ed Oliver's scraping at it, they get the ball out. So now the Bills, they go down and score again. Ravens get the ball back again. They line up in I formation, and he gets 1 yard. Now they do go to shotgun, but what do? They're not gonna throw because an incompletion stops the clock. If you're the Bills, you can still creep up and say, I don't care, you're in shotgun. He's either running it or it's a short pass. Well, guess what they did? They handed it off to Zay Flowers. Right. So to answer your question to me, I just think the Ravens played right into the Bills' hands once the Bills said, we're going to make you play football and you're going to have to make decisions. And the Ravens' decision was, we'd rather try to run this clock out instead of trying to get a first down.
That's all really good. Jackson takes a big hit from Oliver on third down.
He does.
The pass to Hopkins. I thought, you know, if I'm Baltimore, I'm not giving the ball back here, but he wasn't, you know, in perfect shape there after that hit. What else did you see on their fourth down decision?
I saw Bills defenders guarding the first down line and saying, we cannot give this up. And Christian Benford made a great open field tackle. I mean, that's what you pay that guy to do. It's not just being a really good corner. It's making sure he understands the situation and what they're trying to accomplish. The Ravens were still, they did not want to throw the ball, you know, deeper than, you know, 10 yards and risk some sort of turnover, but even an incomplete pass because it's going to stop it. They wanted to keep the clock running. They wanted to make sure the Bills had to use timeouts or they could have the clock run. And I think actually in that situation, that might have been 2 minute warning anyway, right after that play, right? But the Ravens were certainly not in a position that they wanted to take a risk. They didn't want to take a chance. They just turned the ball over a little while ago. So I guess at the end of the day, if I'm in Baltimore, I'm saying they just played too conservative. They basically did exactly what the Bills wanted. They stayed conservative, and ultimately they gave the ball back to the Bills. Now, there is a debate. Should they have gone for it? Sure, we could be in Baltimore right now debating, and we could all do it anyway in Buffalo. Should the Ravens have gone for it? But Lamar was hurting. I didn't know and see until today, like, what happened there on that play with that Oliver. I know some people want a late hit. I didn't think so. From what I see, takes one step, and Lamar actually steps into him a little bit as he releases the ball. He just lays a hit on him. He doesn't hit him in the head,
yeah.
Right? I mean, so I didn't think that at all. But Christian Benford made that play, guys. Christian Benford made that play. And I don't know if he gets the first down anyway because there's another defender there, but it was a really nice open field tackle.
Sal, the throws down the field, the Palmer throw, the Coleman throw that got them ultimately in position to kneel and kill the clock and then kick the field goal. I felt like the Bills almost had to be forced at gunpoint to throw the ball down the field. Now, I don't know if that's Brady and the play calling. We talked with Eric Wood a couple hours ago, and he mentioned how, you know, it could be Allen switching to different looks. He's thinking, here comes a blitz, so quick receiver screen, that kind of thing. But, man, once they started going downfield, and it stands to reason that Baltimore would have been defending against that more so than they would have been earlier in the game, I would think. Although, I don't know this, but it would just stand to reason. You're trying to not give up chunks there, and all they did was get chunks. I mean, what a throw by Allen to Palmer. Holy cow, Sal.
I agree completely. I remember last year, there was a throw against the Jags. I believe they played the Jags at night or Tennessee. I can't remember which game it was. Early season.
Jacksonville was a night game.
Thank you. And Josh throws a ball near sideline scoreboard end, so going to the left side, and it's to Ty Johnson right in the corner of the end zone. And it was one of the most incredible passes I've ever seen coming right at me because I'm standing right there at the pylon. And after that game, I went up to Josh in the locker room, and I said, holy cow, that's one of the greatest passes I've ever seen. I don't know how you do it. And he said to me in that moment, I'll never forget it. He goes, yeah, I kind of discovered something in my in a little technique this week, and I had to tinker with it a little bit and really was dialed in on that throw. And I'm thinking, how good are you to say something like that, right? When you say that little thing. So I watched the throw to Palmer, and I'm thinking, is this the same kind of thing here? And I think back to the videos we saw at Hard Knocks and Chris Hess and how he's tinkering with all these little throws. And I mentioned to Chris Hess, I saw Chris Hess a couple weeks ago, and I talked to him about this, and he said to me, Sal, What people don't understand is Josh is still ascending. He's always getting better and working on little things that people don't understand. And even at his elite level, he's still getting better. And people don't realize that because of those little tiny details. Well, here we go. Here's this throw. You haven't seen that all game. There's that throw right over the top of the defender. Now, and I said to Josh after the game, oh my God, like, again, here you go. You did it. Now, he didn't say anything about the technique, but he said, I saw him man-to-man. I was Jair Alexander. I knew I could fit the ball over the top. And I said, I just, you know, put it in there. And obviously, Josh made a great route. So I just think everything was really dialed in at that time.
I know fans have probably seen everything. I mean, if you're on social media, you're seeing different highlights and different angles of different plays. But what really stands out to me on that throw is how much it looks like him from the Hard Knocks thing. Sale. It's so in a game. That's it right. is so, I'm going to use your word, intentional. Like his mechanics yep. on that throw are like created in a lab, and he's yep. on the field in the cauldron of this game trying to mount like a game winning field goal drive with no timeouts. And he is just absolutely precision locked in mechanically. It's so impressive.
Do you know what I like think about when he told me that answer, that specifically he mentioned Jair Alexander? Like Josh mentioned him, right? Talking about it a little bit. Like he was there. And it was just interesting. He's like, yeah, I saw Alexander on him and I threw it. And maybe he's just noting, you know, the different matchups. That's fine. But like, you know, maybe that's part of intentional as well, right? That you're just, mm-hmm. you know, you have a guy that hadn't been practicing, hadn't been playing, and all those right. little things matter. And then Josh fits that ball in there. Remind me of that San Francisco throw a few years ago on Monday night in Arizona.
That's exactly
COVID
what I said
year.
Earlier. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Oh yeah, I didn't even hear you do that. That's great. Yeah. Like he knew exactly where to put it. But that wasn't. I mean, guys, the throw to Ty Johnson that Ty didn't catch, incredible, right? I mean, like incredible to put it right there. And by the way, while we're saying this, the throw that Lamar made to DeAndre Hopkins was unbelievable as well. Incredible. Just the one spot that he could put that ball for DeAndre Hopkins to catch it.
Sal Capaccio here with just for just a few more minutes. What do you have to say about the defense last night?
They have to be better at stopping the run. We just talked with Bobby Babich, and he knows that. And he was very adamant by saying, we are going to be, here's the word again, Bulldog, very intentional about correcting that, right? Like, he was very adamant about that. You know, one of the things that's happened here, though, is, and this is not an excuse, right? I mean, I say things like this. I don't want anybody to think I'm getting an excuse. But, you know, you analyze these games, and when you see it play out, well, like, why is this happening to the Bills? Well, in this particular game, the Bills did not have a ton of time on task for some of these guys. I know you had a caller call up about preseason. I think that's part of it, but also the injuries, right? Cole Bishop mm-hmm. with Taylor Rapp and where they're playing and all that. And one thing I noticed in this game, the Ravens did a really good job. And I asked Bobby Babich about this, and he said, no doubt. And he agreed with me. From my eyes, I said, the Ravens did a really good job of up-tempo, going quick, not giving the Bills time to set up. And in that environment, when it's really loud and the Bills defense has to communicate, they have to see what they're doing and then communicate. And the Ravens didn't give them a chance to do that. So that's why a lot of the timing was off, I think, from some of their blitzes. I think the Bills were kind of, I'm not going to say not ready, but they were still kind of processing what the Ravens were trying to do and lining up. And the Ravens, they didn't use a lot of motion in those situations. They went up to the ball, they snapped it and said, okay, here we come, bam. And the Bills didn't react quick enough. And I think that's an area where the Bills are hurting this week because of the lack of reps together in preseason.
Yeah, an example of that is the play that fans will probably remember because the way it was presented on the telecast was, when do you see a player blitz from that far back? Cole Bishop was way back, and I think the Ravens quick-snapped and surprised everyone, and he still came. But I imagine that the design, he's supposed to be creeping, but there was no creeping because Baltimore went so quickly, and then he still just blitzed anyway, which was futile because he was like 15 yards off the line of scrimmage. You know, in that case, maybe a more experienced player, here's time on task, would say, oh, they snap quick. It's stupid for me to blitz. Let me find something else to do here that might be useful, right? Cover somebody. I don't know. Get to an open space and just try to, you know, make yourself a factor on the play because blitzing from where he blitzed from on that play was utterly pointless.
Sal, we got to wrap this up. I just want you to know this, because you love a nugget. We had nuggets the other day. You love a nugget. Mm-hmm. Tonight, it's Minnesota-Chicago. Every touchdown scored in the league so far in week one has been on a rush or a catch. All offensive touchdowns. Never in the history of the league, when 14 games or more were played, did an entire week go by without a defensive touchdown or a return. So that's on the line tonight. I don't know how much time Aikman will spend on this. But that is that record, sort of record, is on the line tonight. You might want to know that.
Thank you. I'll be on the lookout.
I might behave accordingly on my gambling app of choice with this information.
I could see either team scoring on defense right. equally. Right. All right. Thank you, Sal.
You got it. Guys.
There you go. That's our man, Sal Capaccio, on the Western Hotline. His appearance is brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Minnesota, small favorite. 1.5. Yep. 1.5, 43.5. Bet Sweats this morning was talking about Bills Jets, how it went, I don't know which direction. They saw 6.5 for the Bills. It was 8.5 last week, the look ahead at the Jets, but the Jets got a little bit of
respect. It makes sense
respect.
That the Jets got, yeah, I mean, the Jets were good, very good in a loss. A loss, albeit, but still very good.
That'll be, you know, the talking point with the spread, the Bills games, that whole Sam and Joe business about running through the 7. I'm sure we'll be talking a lot about that later this week with them. Earlier today, Eric Wood joined us from his home in Louisville, recapping last night's game, the emotions, the comeback itself, and more. We'll have that conversation for you coming up. Football Monday continues. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog back with Eric Wood here on WGR.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.